Roddenberry. And I'm looking forward to that interview because from all accounts he's a very interesting gentleman. And later on...
yards of topsoil, or a beanbag, or a British Airways European holiday. The ultimate trip, brought to you by Hunter Products and Datsun. 1280 AWAM.
Yes, don't ring now, though. We're not calling for calls right now. Mightn't be long, sometime between now and 12, Paul.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, on July the 15th, which is in fact today, the Victorian Star Trek Club, Austrek, is holding a convention to coincide with the 10th anniversary of Star Trek. And as I was saying earlier, when we did an interview with the president of the Victorian Star Trek Club a couple of months ago, we had more reaction to what she had to say than to any other story we've done on Saturday Perspective. So obviously, Star Trek has an enormous amount of a number of fans and very dedicated fans. So following on from that, we've made arrangements over the last few weeks to get in touch with the creator of Star Trek series, Gene Roddenberry. And Gene's with us now. Hello, Gene. How are you?
Hello, Paul. Glad to be on the line with you.
Good. It's very good of you to talk to us. Can you tell me first up, how did you get the idea for the series Star Trek?
Star Trek came mainly out of the censorship limitations we had on American television at the time. I was looking for a property where I could talk about many things that interested me. And of course, science fiction is one of the greatest vehicles for comment.
Did you expect the sort of reaction to Star Trek that it got?
I think any writer that sits down and says, well, what do I do today? I think I'll create a phenomenon. It's got to be crazy. No, I was astounded. I hoped people would... I always hope people remember some show I write or produce, but this really staggered me.
At the same time as creating a series, you obviously seem to have created almost a sort of a philosophy, a way of life. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, that had to do with looking for an area to comment in, and I wanted to write some stories about anti-Vietnam stories, for instance, which was very much in the news at the time, but other... television programs, of dramatic programs, couldn't comment on it. So in Star Trek, we had as one of the prime rules of our fleet that you do not have the right to interfere in the involvement of other people.
And that's the basic philosophy of the series?
That was the first rule of Starfleet.
Who's your favorite character in the series?
I think when a writer writes something, almost all of them are little pieces of his dream selves. So, you know, I would love to be to have Captain. When I flew airlines, I wish I had Captain Kirk's authority. And when I've fouled up out of emotion, I've wished I'd had Mr. Spock's cool logic. I think they're all favorites.
I understand you dreamt about a series like this or a science fiction series when you were a young lad.
Yes, I was. I did have the good fortune to be turned on to science fiction by a friend, and read quite a bit of it as a young man. I'm delighted to see that in most universities in our country, and perhaps there too, they require science fiction reading in the sophomore year. It's a great mind expander.
Yes, one of the things I find interesting about it, if you were just listening to the introduction just before we started talking, we did speak to one of the people from the Victorian Star Trek Club a couple of months ago. And it almost seemed to me that the philosophy of Star Trek had sort of replaced religion for them.
Well, I really hope it doesn't go that far, because I don't flatter myself that I write scripture. But I think most writers try to do this. I fell into a fortunate format, but I think most serious writers are trying to make some comment on our world and what we are and what we're becoming, whether it's science fiction or a historical film.
Yes, what sort of comment does Star Trek make, for instance, on the problem of evil?
Star Trek was very optimistic about the human animal, and it, by being placed in the 24th century and showing humans of all races living together in peace, showing that selfish national boundaries had fallen and were no longer existed and so on, Star Trek was saying that look, we can solve our problems. Don't listen to those people who are saying it's all over and going to happen a big bomb burst. We're going to make it. We're an unusual species.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, I do. I believe that I think that life forms such as ourselves are a spark of whatever divinity is, and I think if you are a spark of that, you've got a good shot at things.
Well, at the moment, I understand that the movie Star Trek is in pre-production. Can you tell us a bit about the movie?
I just was in the middle of a story meeting trying to beat a third act problem that had popped up. Making a movie of this size is sort of like being in the midst of putting on the Normandy invasion. And we just have shops all over the studio working on phasers and then and alien masks and all sorts of new computer rooms. And I'm just sort of on a bicycle all day, bumping from one to another.
Are you worried at all about the standard of the movie Star Trek, that it will live up to the expectations of the fans of Star Trek, the television series?
I worry about everything I do. I keep saying to myself, gee, maybe it's all been just luck up till now. And again, I think most writers share that. All we can do is say that we are not going to cheapen it. We are not going to just make a science fiction movie to make a quick buck. We are into the Star Trek ideas as much as the fans, and we'll do our best to be true to that.
Just harking back to something you said to me a few minutes ago, I'm just wondering whether the characters in the Star Trek series, are they extensions of your own character? Are they you as you'd really like to be, or what?
The first skeletons were. But then in our business, fortunately, we sort of are a committee of creators. Actors, fine actors like Leonard Nimoy, took that original skeleton I wrote, and then out of his acting ability, why, he built flesh and muscle on it and enlarged and expanded it. So did Bill Shatner in doing Kirk. So, yes, they may have started like that, but then I had all of this talent who took this and expanded it into a lovely chemistry.
Gene, just I wonder if you could do one final thing for us. The initial idea for this interview with you came from the Victorian Star Trek Club, and they are, as I said at the beginning, holding a convention today.
What is the person?
Eh?
Diane, can I say that my wife, my son, and I send love to her and to all of them?
Yes, I'm wondering if you could just send a message to them today.
Yes, well, thank you very much, all of you, for the support and the friendship. And as I was saying earlier, we are going to do our damnedest to be true to that. No one can guarantee that everything they do is going to be a great success or work of art, but we will be trying to do that. And we wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for the kind of support you've given us over the years. So from all of us here, thank you very much.
Gene, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today.
And I hope to talk in person someday. I was down there during World War II, and I love the country and people and hope to get back.
Oh, did you stay here for long during the Second World War?
Right.
All right. No, I was just going to say before you go, where were you stationed when you were down here?
Out of Guadalcanal, I came through Brisbane and then and spent a little time there, and then over to Auckland and Rotorua. So in both your lovely countries down there, I was very well treated.
Well, I hope you do come down here again, and thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you.
Bye now. That's Gene Roddenberry, who's the creator of Star Trek.